Welcome to Japan Top 10. This is episode Japan Top 10 News, November 2021. I'm your host, Edward.
And this is Andy.
Let's get into it. Japan Top 10. This is our second Japan Top 10 News episode, where we discuss the latest news in the Japanese music scene and other current mainstream cultural topics. All listeners will be able to listen to this full episode in its entirety at this time. Similarly to our Cultures episode, this episode will mainly be talk-based and feature five songs to tag along with the topics we discuss. In the future, we may also release these episodes on YouTube, but if they do, the music will not be posted due to licensing restrictions. You'll have to go find them on your own. Which is very easy.
Yes.
Anyway, we will do these episodes once every 2 months at this time. And hopefully, maybe even Andy and I will do the YouTube thing if it gets off the ground.
Yes.
Or me and Tassie-chan, or really any of us.
Anybody.
I know Lydia, I think, did an episode with Tassie. And it was really, really good. So if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely go check it out in September. In the month of September that when they recorded. You know, get in a time machine, travel back. Go listen to it, and then come back and join us in the year of our Lord 2021 in November. Anyway, please give us some feedback on this episode once you listen to it, as we are trying to determine whether there's enough interest amongst our listeners with these episodes. Visit jtop10.jp and contact us through our social medias or email us to give us your feedback. We really do appreciate it. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, review, and subscribe, because that is how we stay on the charts and in your hearts and your ears.
That was so cute. Yeah.
You love that? I just can't with that. Yeah. I'm a genius. Andy,
yes.
Why don't you tell us what else is going on this wonderful month of November?
Yes, of course. And as I'm sure all of our listeners are aware, this past month was Listener Appreciation Month. And being that,
Yay.
This is our last Listener Appreciation Month episode. So if you enjoyed all the extra songs and content that you heard this month, please consider joining and supporting us on Patreon. And, you know, our deals, they start at just $1 a month, which hopefully for many of us is quite affordable, and you get all this wonderful content in addition. So if you want full details for that, you can check it out at jtop10.jp/club.
All right, let's get into the meat and bones of this episode.
Yes, big news month. I've always wanted
Absolutely
to say that.
Absolutely it is. I know, I feel like, I mean, full disclosure, everyone, currently right now, I am wearing a sweater and track pants, and I feel like if I was going to do this episode, I probably should have dressed up for this, and I probably should have worn, like, a suit and stuff. But maybe for YouTube, that's what I'll do.
Yes, if so, that ever comes to
we're
fruition.
We're cash here. okay, you want to go first?
Yeah, of course. No, I will kick us off with kind of the biggest news. I think a lot of people around the world have probably been tuned into at least one part of this, and that is Princess Mako's wedding. So, or marriage, rather, not wedding. But Princess Mako married her former college classmate, Komuro Kei, which means that she officially left the imperial household, and now that the imperial family is just down to 17 members of the Japanese royal family. So that is, you know, it's just interesting because there's actually only three members of the royal family left who are eligible heirs to the throne. So I'm not sure how Japanese, I haven't really asked any of my Japanese friends what maybe they don't think about it, but yeah, well, I wonder what that spells for the royal family in the future.
Yeah, that is interesting because Japan, correct me if I'm wrong, it does have a prime minister.
Correct.
But it also, it's kind of like the UK, right? Because it does have like the emperor and the royal family, but then it also has the prime minister.
Right.
And, like, you know, it's a democracy still, I guess, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, I do wonder because in the UK, there's a big debate over royals and whether they're still effective. It's definitely becoming a source of contention, especially with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry defecting, that sounds horrible. They've moved to the States and to Canada. So,
right.
I mean, Meghan Markle is a Canadian, so represent us. I believe she is anyway. She spent a lot of time in Toronto filming Suits. That's where it was filmed. It's cheaper to film in Canada, so that's why it's called Hollywood North. Anyway, but yeah, it's been a big thing because people are like, oh, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and if they're going to be over there, and who's going to be here with the royals? And the Queen, she was hospitalized a little while ago, around this recording, I guess, and a little bit before. Mm-hmm. So our condolences, not our condolences, we hope that she recovers and she's doing well and she continues to keep staying in good health. But also, she is 96, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, and I know another point of contention, I mean, this is less so the case with the British royal family, but here, I know that Komuro Kei's mother, I believe, had some money troubles, and there was a lot of contention whether or not, like, he was a suitable partner for Princess Mako and all this. There was kind of a big drama surrounding that in the news prior to their official engagement and everything, but, It seemed pretty, from what I saw in the news watching here, it seemed pretty, you know, ceremonious, and there didn't seem to be too much drama surrounding her actual leaving.
Well, it wouldn't be the Japanese way if they were going to have a bunch of drama.
Right.
Could you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
If they were like, I do not approve, this was not in the spirit of the event.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, and best wishes and congratulations to the happy couple.
Yes, definitely.
So, up next, the Japanese government has been giving emergency aid to Afghanistan. They've offered $58 million in emergency aid for humanitarian assistance, providing food such as wheat and beans, as well as shelters, through 7 international organizations. The emergency grant is Japan's first to Afghanistan since the Taliban regime systematically repressed the country's population. If you've been watching news at all over in the summer too, there were a lot of refugees trying to escape Afghanistan, and it was over here in Canada as well, and in the States it was definitely a big issue where people were trying to leave and they couldn't due to various factors. Definitely read up on it if that is something that is of interest to you. But it's good that the Japanese government is offering assistance. I don't know, Andy, do you have anything to add about this? I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I don't have much to add other than, yeah, it was kind of ticker tape news over here. I think Japan sometimes in their news presentation doesn't always present foreign affairs as, you know, heavily as they should. But yeah, it is, I suppose it's I don't want to say it's the least they could do, but it is definitely a very good thing that they're, you know, offering up aid.
Yes, better than nothing at all. Right. Absolutely.
Right. Mm. Well, on to from one, you know, kind of, I guess, low point to another equally low point. The Tokyo train attack suspect allegedly sought the death penalty, quote unquote. So for those of our listeners who are not aware, earlier this month, there was a 24-year-old male who perpetrated a train attack in Tokyo on the Keio-sen, on the Keio line. And in it, he injured about 16 other people. I think it was 17 officially.
Wow.
And had initially stabbed a 72-year-old passenger that was sitting next to him and then proceeded to... light the train cars on fire, using a variety of methods to do so, like a cigarette lighter, I think, and some oil. But the footage was harrowing. It was really panic-inducing, and you just really saw people. They actually pulled into the station with the train was on fire, and people were, the doors were still closed for some reason, and people were just jumping out of the windows and things to get out of the burning train, but. Yeah, tragically, he was seeking the death penalty because he felt personally afflicted by a variety of things happening in his life, which is never an excuse to take out your frustrations violently on others, as we all understand. But sadly, a lot of people thought it was a Halloween hoax or something because it did happen on Halloween. And so a lot of people thought it was, you know, kind of part of some Halloween festivities or something. And then tragically, it was not. But yeah, so that is the update on that situation.
That is very heartbreaking. Our prayers and condolences go out to all the families that were affected by this attack. It is quite awful.
Yes.
It's also very insidious, actually, that he would pick Halloween, because he had stated that there wasn't going to be a lot of people on the trains and, you know, out and about for the festivities. And it's right. especially poignant, too, because the coronavirus is hopefully winding down. People were more vaccinated, and they were really itching to get out and, you know, take part in some kind of Halloween party, what have you. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame that this happened. It actually kind of brings to mind, too, I don't know if you remember, back when, this happened quite a bit in America, when the Batman movies were released around in, like, the mid-2010s, there would be, like, there was a, I can't remember where it was, so don't at me, everyone, but you can look it up, though. There was, like, a shooting in a movie theater, and people thought originally, it was, like, during one of the Batman screenings, people thought it was part of the movie, and it wasn't. So stop using Batman properties to enact violence, please. On to happier news. We are going more green in Japan. Very exciting. Yeah. So during a month of debate about Japan's continued use of fossil fuels, and as the world looks towards net zero emission goals, a Japanese company has announced the development of an ammonia-fueled ship. Running the vessel on greener fuel, NYK Line says the ship will use mainly ammonia, a gas that doesn't release CO2 when burned. They're aiming to launch it in fiscal 2026. The government will provide up to $74 million to support the project. There's a big push lately on going green and on climate change. There was that summit very recently in Scotland,
yes.
right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so, I mean, good to start small somewhere, but I always worry it's too little too late.
Yeah, Al Gore was right.
Oh my gosh,
he was
yeah.
right a long, long time
how
ago.
How everyone treated him is, you know, really aged poorly.
Much like many things. I'm looking at you, friends. Actually, no, it's not. Well, that is kind of true. A lot of things have aged poorly. Not my friends. I mean Friends, the TV show. Oh no.
Good distinction. Good distinction.
Yeah, no. I love my friends. You're great.
But definitely. I mean, yes, I think it's good. I know the ship, especially with shipping being a huge point of contention of obviously globally, like shipping is becoming bigger and bigger with ordering, like online shopping and things like that. And it's not only that, but just it always becomes a bigger thing each year. So if shipping companies are going to start taking the initiative, I think that's a good place to start, right?
It is. And actually, now I think about it, Japan has quite a few green initiatives, or I felt like they've always been a little bit more on the cutting edge of doing environmentally friendly things. I mean, one thing that comes to mind, because I'm old school and always looking for nostalgia, do you remember the Bank Band Festival? That was run by Mr. Children frontman. Oh my gosh, his name escapes me.
Anyway,
it was like it was like a whole focus on like environmentalism and stuff, which was great. So go check that out. And the big song single or the big single that came out of that was "To You," which was Salyu featuring Mr. Children, and it was great. And I use it in ballet classes because it's just one of those like we are the world kind of a thing, and it goes for like three different keys. It's a very good song. Also, it's always fun to watch like your favorite stars sing that song all together. At the end, it always makes me cry.
Oh,
I'm a big sap,
a big heart. Yeah.
That's me. Oh yeah, big heart and a big nose for news and where to find it. That's me.
Well, something that may be of very good interest, you know, kind of finishing up our first little section of news topics. Japan is looking to ease entry restrictions for vaccinated foreigners in the upcoming future. I know it's starting specifically with short-term stays for business and working purposes, but also long-term stays for foreign students and foreign technical workers will start to loosen up on November 8th is when that news kind of came out. So the Japanese Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary Kihara Seiji had said about the move to remove restrictions, "The government is considering a plan to allow tourists to enter the country in stages. We will examine the effectiveness of monitoring new arrivals and the coronavirus situation at around the end of the year." So hopefully people looking to come over for visits, not necessarily just business, visiting and finally getting able to travel more freely, hopefully, will be able to do so towards the maybe the beginning of next year, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. I really hope so, because I really do want to go back, and I want to visit you, Andy.
Yes, yes, we are waiting. The proverbial
yes,
we.
Absolutely. Yes. How? A little bit of an aside. How are the numbers going right now in Japan? Have the vaccination rates been getting better? Do you feel like the world is turning a bit for the more safer? that was yeah. not the right English, but you know what I mean.
I got
Are we
you.
Becoming
I
more safe?
Perfectly yeah. understood. Yeah, honest Good. To goodness. Well, especially the numbers in Tokyo have greatly gone down. And I, like in the 10s, 20s, you know, kind of numbers of new cases, which was an astronomical shift from like the thousands that were going on earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think vaccination rates are pretty high and people are generally on board for doing their part to return to a sense of normalcy. So I think I feel confident that things will hopefully be a bit easier to maneuver around going forward. It just feels like there has been a shift in the energy of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. And hopefully it will continue to stay that way. So everyone, be safe, do your part, get vaccinated if you haven't already. And in Canada now, we're starting to do our boosters, so you can get your third shot.
I see. Okay, yeah, that we have not gotten there yet, but that is, I've been seeing the news about that as well.
There you go. So, moving on. We have our first song and an artist we're going to be talking about a tiny bit here. Our Twitch streamer of the month is King Kogi. King Kogi, aka Martina, is a video creator who uploads to YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram.
With a passion for Japan, music, and food, Martina's videos inspire moments of lightness as she encourages others to build a ladder through the difficult days.
Martina co-created Eat Your Kimchi, and you can find her on YouTube at King Kogi, it's all one word, KingKogi, or on Twitch at King_Kogi, that's KING_Kogi.
Yes.
Andy, do you want to introduce our first song?
Yes,
by
please.
King Kogi.
Without further ado, no, I hope everyone does enjoy King Kogi's Starlight, so please take it away.
Japan Top 10.
Beautiful.
Again, that was Starlight by King Kogi, and the music video for this song is an ode to Canada. Oh, shout out Canada and the changing seasons.
Yeah. Starlight was released before Martina boarded King Kogi's airship to start her next adventures back in Japan. I didn't know that Martina was, I guess she's Canadian. The more you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, speaking of people, you know, coming back to Japan, travel restrictions lightning, we're getting more content creators.
Yes, absolutely. We need everyone, go to Japan, make your content.
Oh my gosh.
Do more, help build the economy. Oh my goodness.
I do have to say, I didn't even realize that Martina was one of the people behind Eat Your Kimchi until reading about this. That is a throwback. I feel like Eat Your Kimchi was such a staple of early YouTube.
I don't know anything about it. Tell me about it.
So I believe at the time, I don't know if they're still married. I won't speak on it. But Martina and her partner at the time were high school teachers in Korea, like around 2008 or so. And initially they had just started doing daily vlogs and things, not necessarily with the intention of being, you know, like content creators, but as most vlogs, you know, back in the day started. And then it just picked up a lot of speed.
The word vlog actually says it all.
right.
Yeah. Sorry,
so
go ahead.
I mean, that's just basically it. And then it just was it became a whole thing, like an all things being a foreigner in Korea type based vlog. And so it seems like now she's turned her sights to life in Japan a little bit.
Well, hey, that's actually a very common thing that happens to a lot of people that end up going to teach English. They usually start in Korea and end up in Japan, or vice versa. They always say that Korean language is easier to learn than Japanese a little bit. Or it's easier to read anyway. Hangul is easier to read. That's what I've been told. So, although I would not know, I have not tried. Okay.
I've tried it once. I did poorly.
Oh, you did?
But yes, let us continue.
So up next we have some gaming news. Tales of Luminaria has just come out. It's the next mobile entry in Bandai Namco's long-running RPG series. The Japanese version arrived on November 3rd, followed by the overseas release on November 4th. Players can choose one of 21 protagonists and help them survive a turbulent world, each with a different purpose and distinct storyline. The game also gives players the chance to meet never-before-seen characters along the way. Okay, Andy, are you a gamer?
Yes and no. Yes, I am. I feel like I'm plugged into gaming news and things, but I'm not necessarily very good at games.
Interesting.
How about you, Edward?
I am a bit of a gamer, I would say so. Tales of Arise just came out earlier this month. It is it's a console game, a part of the Tales series. Mobile games haven't really ever appealed to me that much. And also I know mobile games are like a really big focus in Japan, obviously. So I haven't got a chance to ever play Tales of Luminaria, but Tales of Arise, though, was very, very good. Shout out to all my people that are playing that game and have beaten it. It was a little bit too short for my liking, a little bit, but I still enjoyed it, and the character development was pretty good. Dohleem, you can slide into my DMs anytime. Anyway, he's cute. I like it. I have a thing for like princes with long hair who don't understand how the world works. It's very cute. Be like, I will teach you because I am not that elegant. But yeah,
well, I can
also
always get behind
all the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can always get behind a nice little fantasy story moment. And I know I have friends who are very into the Tales series, so maybe it's my time to debut myself.
Yeah, absolutely, you should. I mean, if you have time, do it. I would suggest, starting with that one is good, or one of the more recent ones is good. Berseria is a very, very good Tales game to start with, actually. That was for, I want to say, the PS4, and actually, I think that re-released on PS5, but definitely look it up. Check it out. Tales of Berseria and Tales of Arise, which just recently came out, and also check out Tales of Luminaria on mobile.
Yes. Go ahead. And well,
just
gaming,
Bandai Namco
gaming
doesn't sponsor
that...
us, but they should pay us for that. They should pay me for that.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes,
sorry,
definitely.
Go ahead.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right, moving on to a gaming, a sphere of gaming that I am much more familiar with. We had a very surprising and exciting update drop on the 4th of November. Remember the 4th of November. Yeah, so originally scheduled for the 5th of November, the Animal Crossing update came out a day early, much to the surprise of everybody. And this was a big drop. I mean, Edward and I were speaking before how we're both fans of Animal Crossing. So this was a big update for all of us to kind of revitalize a bit of our interest and our islands with some new, fresh faces. But yeah, I know I've been seeing a lot of people posting content on the timeline about Animal Crossing since the update. How about you? Have you been in the back in the spirit?
I'll be honest, I haven't, because once I paid off my house and Tom Nook was like, well, I got nothing for you unless you want to, like, you know, change the color of your doors or the color of your roof or the style of your house. You do you. And I'm like, okay, there's only so many times I can play around with the town toon creator and, like, talk to my villagers, and I didn't really feel like doing the whole terraforming thing. So I haven't gotten into it yet, although I will say I am very excited about the fact that Happy Home Designer, as it's called in the North America, but Happy Home Paradise, how it's been, like, integrated now into Animal Crossing is very, very exciting. Anyway, did you play Happy Home Designer or anything like that when it came out?
Yeah, so I was actually really thrilled to see this update, because it kind of had passed me. Like, Happy Home Designer came out, and I was still playing New Leaf and stuff, but it just didn't seem like I had my Switch already, and I was just like, it just didn't make sense. Or maybe I didn't have my Switch, but whatever. By the time I discovered Happy Home Designer was a thing, I kind of missed the mark. So then seeing this come out, like, was so exciting, because that's probably my favorite part. I love to design, even if I'm not very good at it. It's just the funnest part of Animal Crossing for me. And so, yeah, I have been thoroughly enjoying. I spend, like, at least 2 hours on these, like, silly little homes for the Animal Crossing characters.
I love that. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. Do you have a favorite villager, actually?
Oh my gosh. So many. Okay.
Top three, then. How about top three?
Okay, top three. Okay. One is Bo. He's like a little deer. Maybe you know him. He's like an orange deer. He's kind of sleepy.
Don't know him, actually.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, he's very cute. Another one is Diva. She's a frog, a purple frog. She's very witchy. She's super cool. I love her.
Yeah.
And probably Fuchsia. She's another deer character. She's the pink deer with like the blunt bang and the ear piercing. I love her. She's beautiful.
Oh, that's so great. Yes. I'm actually, now I'm thinking about all my villagers, and I'm like, I really love the cat villagers the most. So I'm going to be a little old school here. One of my favorites from the original Animal Crossing, shout out to my OG N64. Was it N64 or was it GameCube? It was N64.
N64 in Japan, and then I think GameCube.
Yeah, it
was
N64 first, in North America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember this. So anyway, shout out to those people that played the original. Bob. Do you remember Bob?
Bob.
He was one of the first characters that was ever created. He said, pith, pith. It's great. I also really liked Kiki. Spent a lot of time with Kiki. She's a black cat with obviously a reference to Kiki's Delivery Service. Oh, and Bob is a purple cat. Another villager that I enjoy that my friend had, but I didn't. Shout out to my best friend, Mike. You know where you are. Whatever that means. Anyway, he had a villager named Kabuki, who was a cat that had, like, the Kabuki makeup and stuff. Super cute. And I'm like, I want that villager! But never got him. But yeah. Honestly, it's, I guess, all cats for me. Speaking of Animal Crossing characters, we're gonna play a little quiz! Yay!
Yay!
Insert background music here. Can Andy and you at home identify who these characters are from using their names in other countries' versions of the game? So I'm going to give a country and villager's name, and you are going to have to tell me what the English version of the character's name is.
Okay.
So
okay.
That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah. I'm on board. I will try my best.
All right. So here we go. Number one, Michiru, or Mitchell in Japan. What is the villager's name in English? Mitchell.
Okay, Mitchell. Michiru. My guess is, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. Maybe you can help me. He's the little squirrel that looks angry all the time.
Oh, with the mustache?
Yes, yes. Do you know?
He looks like my dad.
Oh no.
My dad has technically you have a mustache right now too. Because it's Movember. So no, I'm just kidding. It's not because of that. But yeah, my dad has a mustache all the time. So I'm like, oh, it looks like my dad. I know who you're talking about, but it's not that one. Okay. It's Sasha, the new adorable male Usagi, the bunny. Sasha.
Oh,
that's who it is.
Okay.
Mitchell.
Aww.
Yeah.
Cute.
We call him Sasha. Alright, here's the next one. Narisco in Spain. And I'll give you a hint, actually. I'll see. It's a pretty popular character, actually. I will say that. He's used a lot. Fans really like this character.
Okay.
It's a cat.
Oh my gosh, what's his name? I see him. He has heterochromia and he's a gray cat.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one. It's Raymond. Yes. Raymond.
Oh, Raymond.
Yes, Raymond.
Okay. Yeah.
Our little emo cat. Yeah. He looks like he belongs in Fallout Boy. All right.
True.
Yeah, you better believe it. Here's the next one. This is in Korea. Neogol. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. I'm so sorry to all of our Korean listeners. Neogol. Or Neogol?
N-E-O-G-U-L.
Neogol.
I am going to guess that is... that's KK Slider. Okay. I don't know.
Very close. It is a main character, and I love me some KK Slider. Shout out to all my KK fans out there. Just kidding. I should do a KK version of Japan Top 10. That would be excellent. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting distracted. This is actually Tom Nook.
Oh, Tom Nook. Oh.
Yeah, Neogol is Tom Nook. Yeah, there you go. He's so rich, honestly. You think about all those bells he's getting from everyone with all his loans? Smart. All right, here's the next one. I actually have this villager in my island currently, and I think she is great. She is known as Fanny in both France and Italy.
Fanny.
Which doesn't really help the English version of this name definitely describes this elephant character a bit better.
Elephant. Oh! Okay, is it... I only can think of one elephant character that seems to have a good name that fits it. Is it... what's her name? Tia?
Yeah, it is Tia. Good job, Andy.
Yay!
Oh. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, her name fits so perfectly. She looks like a little teapot. She's cute.
Totally. Super cute and so nice, too. Her house is really cute as well, actually. Very old school. Very retro. Here we go. Last one. And actually, you might know this one because you're in Japan.
Yes.
Ooh. So, Shizue.
Oh, that's Isabel. Come on.
Yes. Yes. You nailed it. That's good. There you go. So,
yes.
Hope everyone enjoyed that wonderful quiz. Andy nailed it.
Yay! Well, thank you. I had lots of very good hints, so thank you also, Edward.
You are most welcome.
Okay. Well, I mean, without further ado, I love spending that much time. I'm sure our listeners are sick of hearing about Animal Crossing, so let's take it on to some more media news with anime. We actually have a good mix. We have some staff picks as well as general anime news to update all of you on. So first, let's start with a little staff pick from our very own Haley. So Haley has recommended the anime Mo Dao Zishi, which is the founder of Diabolism, or in Japanese, it's Mado Soshi. Her note about the anime is that it was amazing and the music was beautiful. So this is actually a Chinese anime based off of a donghua, which is based off of a novel of the same name.
Yeah. That's interesting. A lot of animes end up that way, don't they? They're like, it's a manga, now it's an anime, now it's a live action, and now it's a movie, and now it's an OVA, and now it's, goes everywhere. I love that, though.
They really run the gambit on a lot of these, truly. So, yeah, I looked up briefly. I had not known much of anything about this anime, but it seems to be a very dramatic story of, like, revenge, and there's elements Ooh. Of magic and fantasy. So if you're into Chinese fantasy, which I know there was another Netflix show that came out recently, a Chinese drama that was really... really blowing up, so this might be up your alley if you had enjoyed I think it was like called the Unburdened or something. I know that's wrong, but everyone's screaming it at home.
Yes, I'm sure everyone scream it really loud into the comments and let Andy know. Let us know and tell us how it is.
Yes, tell us how it is, and shout out to Haley for her recommendation.
Yes, thank you, Haley. For more anime news, we have a Fruits Basket Prelude. It was written by Natsuki Takaya and will be released on February 18th, 2022. And if that news hasn't got you eager for more, the artist behind the supernatural slice-of-life hit comedy has released a visual featuring Toru, I should know this, I've watched the original anime, parents featuring Kyoko and Katsuya Honda. Did you watch the original Fruits Basket?
Sadly, no. I had a friend who would never lend me the manga, so I've never gotten into Fruits Basket because I've been very embittered by that friend.
sad. No, I watched the anime. I didn't read the manga, although I heard the manga is very good. But yeah, the anime is great. Definitely get a chance. Definitely check it out. It's really good. I'm excited there's a prelude to it. That's good.
Maybe it's time for me to heal. I will definitely take your recommendation.
Oh, it's so good. And yes. I believe, actually, the ending theme to the original Fruits Basket, if it's the one I'm thinking of, I'm not going to sing it because we don't want to pay licensing for that. We can't afford it. If it's the one I'm thinking of, like, I have really fond memories of that song. It's very Natsukashi.
Aww.
So, yeah, go check it out.
Everyone. Lovely. Yes. Well, I mean, kind of one slice of life type story to another, The Way of the House Husband is getting a movie. So, yes, The Way of the House Husband's official Twitter account released a photo of the film's main cast, Hiroshi Tamaki, who's playing Tatsu, as well as Haruna Kawaguchi, who will be playing Miku, and finally, Jun Shison as Tatsu's former associate, Masa. The film will see Tochiro Ruto, who directed the live-action TV drama adaptation, returning, and it should be due for summer 2020. So if you've enjoyed that series, I don't know, have you gotten into it at all, Edward?
I've been actually prowling Crunchyroll a lot lately, my partner can attest, because I just finished New Game, which is a slice of life about a game designing or a bunch of girls who are a part of an all-female game design studio. It kind of follows them around and stuff. So I'm watching, I just finished that one, which was pretty good. But I've seen The Way of the House Husband and, like, scrolled by it, but I haven't actually checked it out. Have you looked it up?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's really clever. I love any story that, you know, puts an unlikely character into an unlikely situation, or like the opposite situation. I think it's always a hoot and a holler. So yeah, definitely. We'll be looking forward to maybe watching this movie in summer 2022.
Yeah, I'll get caught up and watch that anime because it does look good. Just haven't really got a chance to check it out yet, but maybe I will after this. All right, and lastly, we have the Assassination Classroom box set is being released. On November 29th, 2021, Funimation will release the Assassination Classroom Complete Collection on Blu-ray. The collection will contain all 22 episodes of Season 1 and 22 episodes of Season 2, with English and Japanese audio with English subtitles. I'll be honest, I haven't seen this, but from what the title alone, it sounds like the... You know how lately now there's been the genre of anime where it's like either it's a game within a game, and if you die in the game, you die for real kind of a thing, or it's like a battle royale situation? I feel like this is more of a battle royale situation.
Oh,
what say
absolutely.
You? Do you know anything about this?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely noticed that too, and I've never seen this, but it feels exactly like what you said.
Which, nothing wrong with that. I mean, battle royale, we stand. We love it. It's great.
I mean,
go check it out.
Squid Game is building the new generation.
And even the one before that, I think it was Alice in Borderland. I think also did that too earlier. There's been a bunch of Netflix shows that lately have been doing that. So definitely go check out all. If that's your kind of a thing, there's definitely a recommendation for you out there. So go check it out.
Yes. And speaking of Netflix, we have a final, rounding out our category, we have our final team pick. So we have another crew member, Tassie, giving us a recommendation of the Violet Evergarden movie. So I know this is a series kind of dealing with, you know, the fallout, like the aftermath of war and things, and various themes of that nature. But yeah, the movie of this animated series is out on Netflix, and Tassie recommends that you go see it. So if you are looking, if you can skip the endless scroll, take Tassie's word for it, it's gonna be great. You're gonna enjoy it. If you're a fan of anime, you're already here. Please.
Dozo. Yes, go check it out. And Tassie won't steer you wrong. She's got good taste. Next up, we have our music video of the month. So go check this one out on YouTube. And you get to listen to it right now. It's Muku with Goner and World. Japan Top 10.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Side single, kind of, and it was released on the 5th of November.
This single is the first without drummer Satoshi, who retired from professional drumming after playing with Muku, the band, for 23 years.
The MV begins with Tatsuro's heartfelt ballad on a wrecked car before melding into J-rock track Goner. The beginning of this track, I gotta say, it is very much ripe for like an anthem, like an arena rock kind of situation where all the fans are there, everyone's got their glow sticks, everyone's like pointing them towards the band and doing the whole whoa thing, you know what I mean? Very that. Yeah, it's Andy's doing it right now. He's practicing. He's getting
yeah.
ready.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's very, very, it comes in nice and smooth, and then it just shreds out into the end.
Yeah. Shreds.
Shred.
Yeah.
Yes, no, so all of our J-Rock fans can check that out and thoroughly get their kicks on Route 66.
Ah! when I hear you say that, I always think of the American Idol audition, Gone Horribly Wrong, that has the girl that sings it. And I think it's the one where she says she's Scat Girl, and she thinks she can scat. Scatting, for our Japanese listeners that may not know, is a vocal technique that's used in jazz that basically takes the melody and it involves lots of improv, and it involves using nonsense words, basically. Things like scoo-boo-doo-bap-bap and things like that. Very almost like KK Slider. You know, lots of me, aw, quay, aw type things. But anyway, if you're ever really bored and you want to go to a weird part of the internet, definitely look up American Idol Route 66 audition and you will find it. She calls herself Scat Girl proudly, but I don't think that's a name to be proud of. Just saying. Anyway, now let's move on to our November news story. So, tipping in Japan. This is actually really interesting. Andy, you are you can probably speak to this a little bit more than I can, because I was only in Japan in 2014. But the Tip Project is a new Japanese enterprise aiming to introduce tipping to Japan, which is very cool.
Yes, and the official homepage actually features photos of business executive and best-selling author Takafumi Horie, as well as the comedian Akihiro Nishino and the YouTuber Yoshito Kamogashira, who are spearheading the effort to spread tipping throughout Japan.
The Tip Project claims that introducing the practice into restaurants will increase staff motivation and help service industries that have been hit hard by COVID-19.
Tipping in other countries is often criticized as an unreliable and unfair practice, which, you know, honestly, I agree. We can get into that at the end of our little informative section. For example, instead of paying servers the minimum wage, some employers rely on a tipped minimum to create their staff's wages for them, with some even taking a share of the tips for themselves.
Yes, a tip out, or a tipping pool is what it is. And it's far from creating the incentive to work harder or a reward for good service. Tipping can actually create an unhealthy work environment. It also fosters competitive spirit that is actually quite negative and gets really backstabby. It's not a good look.
And on top of that, tipping has also been shown to highlight racism in a U.S. study conducted from 2010 to 2016. It was shown that while white servers could expect to take home an average of $7.06 an hour in tips, black servers made an average of $5.57, while Asian servers made the lowest or a lower amount at $4.77 an hour.
Tipping is one of those seemingly small acts of kindness that can easily be taken advantage of by some companies.
And tipping in Japan is not customary, as Japanese culture is rooted in dignity and respect. So it says. So good service is considered standard, and tips are viewed as unnecessary because a company should be paying the staff they employ for the work that they do.
This is actually really interesting because, yes, the service industry in Japan, when I remember being there in 2014 and when I go back, customer service has always been paramount and number one, right? So I guess the logical argument is that people will become lazy, I guess, because they know they'll be getting a tip. Is that what I don't know, because what are your thoughts on this? What do you think?
Yeah, I think since, like you mentioned, I think service is always, like, at the forefront of, you know, a lot of companies, I guess, I wanted to say just their baseline efforts as a company. And so I just think I don't really see a place for tipping here in Japan because servers are already paid a livable wage, or for the most part paid a livable wage here. So I don't know what the incentive is. If the incentive is to get more people into the service industry, maybe raising wages would be a better way to do that. I think tipping, just as a lot of the examples here, I mean, maybe racism may play a role into it here in Japan as well, honest to goodness. But I think more than anything, you're going to find that it's going to become an outlet for... there's a huge problem with the treatment of women as well here, you know, in terms of misogyny and gendered stereotypes of what's expected of women. So I think, honest to goodness, this is just going to create further radicalization of some of those ideals of, oh, if you don't fit the conventional beauty standard or you're not a young, beautiful woman, you're gonna make pennies on the dollar. Oh, well, pennies on the yen. Yennies on the yen.
Ah, good job, Andy. Yes, I think that's very true. I guess it'll be interesting to see what develops and what happens. Keep us posted, Andy. Report back.
Yes, I will.
On the scene.
I definitely, on the scene. I'll be your investigative journalist on tipping here in Japan.
And if Andy is too busy, make sure you tell us too. Tell us what you think about this by reaching out to us on our social media.
Yes.
So up next, we have another song from Shogo Sakamoto with Natsu no Venus, or Natsu no Venus, in 2018. Japan Top 10!
Oh, した笑顔も眩しすぎて、この思い伝えたい、だけどうまく聞き出せない、臆病さがいつも恋の邪魔する。好きな場所、好きな映画、何一つ聞けてないけど、君の心に触れたい、僕の方を振り向かせたい。夏のヴィーナス、出会った時からこの胸のときめき溢れて、夏のヴィーナス、眠れない夜を重ねては惹かれてゆくのさ。みんなで行った夏祭り、桃色浴衣の君にまた近づけなくて、もどかしさは募ってく。君はそんな僕のこと、まるで気に求めずに、リンゴ飴片手に持って、他のやつとはしゃいでる。今すぐにその手を掴んで、君を独り占めしたいけど、怖いんだ嫌われることが、いっそリンゴ飴になれたらな。誰かに取られたくない、明日は君に話しかけてみるから。夏のヴィーナス、出会った時からこの胸のときめき溢れて、夏のヴィーナス、いつの日か君を僕のものにできるだろうか。夏のヴィーナ
ース。Shoko Sakamoto is a Japanese actor, voice actor, and singer.
He is known for playing Ciel Phantom Hive in the Black Butler musicals.
Natsu no Venus was included on Shogo Sakamoto's first album, Fluffy Hope.
Oh, that is adorable. I love that name.
That's a Japanese thing. Fuwa fuwa. Like, yeah, very, very that.
The song's MV music video sees a waitress serving a male customer a very large helping of ketchup on their omurice. And honestly, if you are sensitive to sounds, I watched the video prior to this recording. It is very gross. I hated the beginning of this music video.
Yes, I guess cooking shows are not for you, eh? Actually, I must admit, ASMR isn't for me either. Yeah, it's we recorded an ASMR video for Japan Top 10 over in August when everyone got together in Canada. I was unavailable because I was working, but it's actually kind of a blessing in disguise that I wasn't there, because I would have hated it. ASMR just creeps me out. I don't know about you.
I like it, but I definitely did not like whatever was going on in this video.
Yep. Yes. Too much squelching and scorching for nothing.
Yeah, a bit too much for me. But, you know, I can soothe my ears with some music news, which will be, incidentally, the next topic of our conversation. So, the Blue Hearts, a Japanese punk rock band, have officially made a new YouTube channel, finally, featuring 14 of the band's music videos. The punk rock band was active from 1985 to 1995 and have been compared to punk icons the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and the Ramones.
All huge icons, for sure.
I love Blue Hearts, so please check them out.
There's also a free party with Miku and Gumi at home with online event Digital Stars. So you can join the party without leaving home with the music event Digital Stars featuring Miku and Gumi streamed online for free. Enjoy club music featuring Vocaloid stars on the official Hatsune Miku Twitch channel from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Japan Standard Time on November 21st. The lineup consists of 9 artists including Amamori B, Amen Kensetsu, and DJ Shimamura. Were you big on Vocaloids, Andy?
Okay, it's so funny. I have not really been, but this past month I've just been absolutely smitten with them. I think it's because the YouTube algorithm like tapped into my brainwave and has recommended me a bunch of Vocaloid recently. But how about you, Edward? Are you a Vocaloid aficionado?
I'm not really, to be honest, but I really do love, I love auto-tuned and chip-tuned vocals a lot. Like, I've talked about them before on the podcast, but I'll say it again. You know, Capsule, Meg, Carrie Pamyu, all those kinds of artists, that kind of stuff really speaks to me a lot. So, like, in the Shibuya KE realm, that kind of stuff really does speak to me. So I do feel like Hatsune Miku and all of her friends would probably also appeal to me, too. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But maybe I will sometime soon. I will check out this event next week for us when we're recording. So check it out if you have time.
Yes, absolutely. We will look forward to the full report. So, just as Japanese artists have begun to embrace streaming services, a la Miku and Gumi having their free concert, and YouTube, the sales of vinyl are actually surging in Japan. The increase has been seen in Japanese artists with increased sales, not only in Japan, but around the world, with orders doubling in the last year. Popular secondhand artists are mostly 1970s and 80s J-pop, as well as the Beatles, JP releases, Japan releases, and older pressed records that are often excellent, in excellent condition, and great additions to anyone's collection. I think collector habits have really been on the rise, so that probably is feeding into that.
Yeah, it is. I'm not a big vinyl head myself, but I have a friend of mine, actually, who just recently unearthed all of her vinyl that she had like in her mom's house, and we carried it over in Toronto, and it was actually a really fun time to like go back and check out all the super cool stuff that she had. So vinyl is definitely, it's important, and if you have the means to play it and to enjoy it in all of its wonderful pop and crack glory, then do it. Definitely get on it. What about you, Andy? Are you big into vinyl at all?
No, I do enjoy vinyl a bit, and my parents they listen to it quite a bit still to this day, all their old records. But yeah, I don't have a vinyl of my own, and I haven't bought a record player or any updated vinyls recently, so I guess it's not my wheelhouse. But I do like the aesthetic; it is a nice a tactile experience listening to vinyl.
Okay, so up next, we have some indie artist updates, which I'm very familiar with because I do the indie artist episodes alongside Dean. So, just to let you guys know, Chaos One, who I interviewed in September, they have released their brand new single, End of the Game, so go check it out. They are a really great Belgian rock band, their interview is a lot of fun, actually, to do. It was great. It was a good time, and they've been around for a while, actually, so definitely, if you get a chance, go listen to it when it comes out. Also, multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, and producer Rio has begun streaming on Twitch this month. Yeah, and I actually got a chance to interview her, too. She was actually the first person I interviewed for our indie artist episodes when I joined, so I'm so happy Rio-chan is out there doing her thing, and she is great. So definitely go check her out. You can catch her on Twitch at twitch.tv/Rio. It's Reo_O_JP. If you want to find her on YouTube and stuff and our social medias, just Google RE:O and you will find her. Hi, Rio-chan.
Okay, great. And last, or maybe not last, but coming towards the end of our indie artist updates, on November 10th, the amazing Puffy Shoes released a brand new MV music video for their sugary sweet song, Jelly Tots, from the duo's 2020 EP, I Might Be In Love. You can check that out on YouTube. The duo also released again on November 12th.
So, what have you been listening to this month, Andy?
Well, like I mentioned before, I've recently gotten back into Miku and Hatsune Miku, as well as I've been really enjoying... I did an episode on Japanese hip-hop recently, and one of the artists on there, it's East End X Yuri, or East End and Yuri, their song Dayone was really catchy and really stood out to me. So I've been listening to a bit of Japanese hip hop, like Daoko and some of the other artists that were featured on that. So how about you, Edward? What has been in your ear recently?
So lately, I've been really getting into... I'm actually really glad I discovered them, because I also had to interview them for the episode. But it's Melancholia is a transgender J-rock idol, and he has been releasing some really good stuff lately, and I got to interview him for this month's Indie Artist episode, so please go and check that out when it gets released. His vocals are so good. It's like, take Gackt, but then make it like all the more delicious and amazing, and oh, it's the best. And the videos are so good, and I'm just, I'm so happy. So definitely go check out Melancholia. That's MelanCholiah! So definitely go check them out. He is great.
Oh, nice. Yes, I can definitely get into that. Anything with Gackt, you've already sold me. So perfect. I'm very excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And representation matters too. So shout out to all of our trans and queer brethren and sisterin and however you identify her in.
Yes, of course, always. So be sure to also look forward to that wonderful episode coming out soon. But in the meantime, to tide us over, we can hit up our friends Miku and Gumi with their Digital Stars featuring Miku and Gumi with the song Unsung Melodies. Japan Top 10. This song is the theme to the online event that Edward so eloquently introduced us to earlier, Digital Stars.
Aw, thanks, Andy Kuhn. You're the best. Digital Stars, featuring Miku and Gumi, is the latest installment in the Digital Stars Club event series, which showcases musical collaborations of all kinds of different creators. So, once again, please go and check that out when it comes out on November 21st.
Yes, that's right. So, without further ado, we've had such a full day. We're just going to wrap up with some light news items, what's going on in Japan and whatnot. So, this month in Japan, we have a couple of holidays coming up. On November 3rd, well, it already happened, but it was Culture Day, Bunka no Hi, which is a national holiday held for the promotion of the arts. So festivities normally include art exhibitions and parades, concerts, all things culture.
Oh, I love that. I wish I was there to see it. Aww. On November 15th, it was Shichi Go-san, a day to pray for the growth and well-being of children. Usually the celebration involves boys of ages 3 and 5 and girls of ages 3 and 7. It's believed to have been started in the Heian period amongst court nobles who would celebrate their children surviving into middle childhood.
Yes, that is right. It is, it's also so cute because all of the children get in their little kimono and go out to the temples or shrines and things, so it's adorable. But
love it.
I digress. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, on November 23rd, we have Labor Thanksgiving Day, or Kinro Kansha no Hi in Japan. It is an occasion to respect and celebrate production and give thanks to our laborers. So, kind of our Labor Day in a way.
Interesting. It sounds a lot more, well, it sounds more poetic because of our wonderful script writing. Special thanks to Haley for doing that. But also, too, we, for Labor Day, for like in the West, we don't really do. There's no celebration or giving of thanks. It's really just kind of like, it's a day off. Hooray! You know what I mean? I guess we'll find out. You can report back once again, Andy, live on the scene, about what actually goes down on Labor Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, yes. I mean, I can give you a peek behind the curtain. It's very much like what you just outlined. It's very much like, oh, it's a day off. Excellent. Love that.
No one's around giving each other gifts and just being like, thank you for your service. It's just kind of like, we did it. Day off.
Yes, yeah. Which, I mean, that's all a lot of us could ask for, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, please. Any day off is so good. You better believe it. All right.
Well, rounding out, I guess the end of our episode here, I will just quickly go through a couple news headlines, if that's all right with you.
Go ahead, Andy. Take it away, please.
Yes. So this is the ticker tape of our episode. So the quick and dirty. So very recently, there was the season's first auction for seafood here in Japan, specifically crabs, and one of the crabs fetched a fancy penny. There is a Japanese bus company who has made a spa bus. So it's like a sauna and a bus all put together, which will be out in February 2022. I will definitely be going to Himeji City to ride that. And due to some of the recent complications with volcanic activity here in Japan, pumice stone has been causing a big problem for Okinawa's main island, especially ferry services, as pumice stones have been floating out there from a recent eruption on the main island here in Japan. Yes, that was your vital information for everyday life. The quick and dirty of some of the other news items that we did not cover more extensively.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we have a kind of a little bit of a throwback here, but also still very valid because they're always releasing new material. We have Sailor Moon Winter Illuminations. So, from the 13th of November 2021 until April 3rd, 2022, the new Sailor Moon Illuminations will be lit up daily after 4 p.m. in the Sagamiko Resort Pleasure Forest Amusement Park. The colorful lights are inspired by the Sailor Guardian's colors. The park will also offer plenty of other Sailor Moon's photo spots, so definitely go and check it out. And it's true, actually, because there's a lot of stuff going on lately with Sailor Moon. They just released on Netflix. It's a new dub for sure, but it's like a retelling of like the original manga series, which is very different than what the anime was when it came over in the West originally, because there's a lot of editing and stuff, and that really should be an episode in itself. So Jack, our producer friend, if you're listening, let's do an episode about Sailor Moon because there's a lot to talk about there. Yeah, definitely. Were you a big fan of Sailor Moon, Andy?
Yeah, I was huge. I was huge into it as a kid, and I just loved, aesthetically what was going on, and I, to this day, want to have my magical girl transformation fantasy happen, but we'll see.
Totally. And Shin. Yeah. Actually, favorite Sailor Scout or favorite Sailor Senshi, go.
Sailor Saturn. How about you?
Ooh. See, originally it was Sailor Mercury, but now I really do identify with Sailor Mars. Even though technically I'm supposed to be Sailor Jupiter because I'm a Sagittarius. I don't know about you. What's your star sign?
I am, my sun sign is Virgo, so I should be identified with Venus, or not Venus, with Mercury, rather. Mm. My ruling planet. But yeah, go. sadly I do not, because she's a big nerd. No, I'm just kidding.
Everyone, she got her own like movie and everything like that. She was just so popular, Sailor Mercury.
She was. Ami-chan. But well, I mean, that is a perfect tie into our last song of this episode, and we will be featuring the wonderful Michie Tomizawa with the song "Eien no Melody" from 1993. Japan Top 10.
Ah, natsukashi.
So that again was Eien no Melody, or Eternal Melody, which was, of course, the kind of image song, not the kind of, it was the image song of Neihino, or Sailor Mars, from the second season of the Sailor Moon anime.
I remember this season very, very well. So Hino sang the song in episode 54 as part of her school culture festival. This is actually also where she gets like a power upgrade because the monster of the week kind of destroys her music and stuff. She gets really, really angry. It's like a whole thing. It was a really good episode.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I love... Okay, also, can we just talk about the absolute serve that was Sailor Mars? She was just doing... She was doing it all. I do love Sailor Mars.
In high heels. She was doing it in high heels. I love her so much, honestly. Yeah. She became my favorite. I was like, honestly, she doesn't... She's like, ugh. Like, Usagi is being such a crybaby right now. I don't have time for this bullshit. I just want to get this done and kill the monster. Like, let's go. And I'm like, you know what? I identify with Sailor Mars very much. The older I get, the more I'm just like, yes, you do it. Do it, Ray. Do it.
Yes. And I'm very surprised that this is her image song because it's so, like, peaceful and lovely and everything. But the English language version was titled Oh Starry Night and was recorded using the same melody but given a different... song meaning, like the lyrical meaning was altered a bit.
I wonder if, like, I'm gonna out myself a bit here. I've watched Sailor Moon in the dub because that's all we had over here in the 90s and 2000s. I feel like I should go back and watch it in a sub form because maybe it is different. Because the character choices they've made in the dub version probably don't translate very well into the Japanese version. Like, did you watch the subs? Or were you a dub person?
Yeah, so I was a dub person for the exact same reasons as you mentioned, but I have not gone back. You know, I've watched some of the newer, like Sailor Moon Crystal and things I've watched as subs because they were more widely available in both versions. But yeah, I prefer subs generally.
Me too.
But yeah, so I'd be interested to see some of those. Also, some of those translations, I wonder how many of them have been replaced, have replaced the fan translations, because I know for subs for a long time, even of those older anime, it is a lot of fan translations. There's not a lot of impetus of companies to go back and do official, you know, subbing of their series. So I wonder too what the fans back in the day were gleaming off of some of the older content.
No, absolutely. Once again, this is an episode we should definitely do in the future. So, Jack, get on it. I'm putting in my bid. Andy and I, or really, I bet a bunch of us, like, I'm sure we're not the only ones on our team that love Sailor Moon. It was a very formative time, for sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, I mean, speaking of our other content, I hate to bring us too crashing to an end. I enjoyed really getting to hash out the news and present it in such an official and newscasterly way, but I just wanted to have a quick little pitch to our listeners and ask, did you enjoy this episode? If you did, please make sure to give us some feedback, or if you didn't, hopefully you did. You can do that by visiting jtop10.jp and contact us through our social media, or even you can email us to give us your feedback about this episode or these types of episodes.
And as ever, make sure that you, whatever podcast provider you're listening with, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe us. And yeah, like Andy said, if it was good, give us 5 stars. If it wasn't good, give us 1 star. And leave us a review, because that is how we continue to make content and get out there. So please do let us know. And we do read it, so, and we will hear about it. So please make sure it's something good. It sounds a little scary.
Yes, yes. No, definitely. Yeah. And on that note, Tassie and Lydia, you had just mentioned, who... well, throughout the episode, had mentioned our wonderful other host. They will be back to bring you some of their favorite Morning Musume songs in the Artist of the Month episode next month. So they will see you a week from now, or I guess this month. Excuse me, I misspoke.
Yep, they will. Morning Musume. The only thing I know about them is from like NHK or the Kohaku Uta Gassen, with the whole, you know, Love Machine medley. I already talked about that with Tassie-chan before, but yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm excited to hear that episode because I would love to learn more about Morning Musume and the cultural institution that is the Hello Project, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, sorry. Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, the Morning Musume as an institution. Oh, sorry. That's, yes, no, but I'm excited to hear from Tassie and Lydia and get some more insight into, honestly, a formative and iconic girl group here in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. So that was it. That's the end. It brings us to the end of our episode. Andy, thank you so much for joining me. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us for the Japan Top 10 news episode of November 2021. So, as I just mentioned, my name is Edward.
And this is Andy.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye, B.
Yes. Bye. Johnny.
anime reference. Who knew?
Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.